You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of May. Getting ready for the Warriors and the Lakers tonight. We'll give you the local experts on both those teams before we're done. What are the Jazz strengths and weaknesses as a team? And how do the Lakers and Warriors match to those strengths? We'll look at that today as well. Get to know our Jazz a little bit better. So we're just hanging out, waiting to find out who we play on Sunday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. First things first, the last 2 days' shows I thought were good. Monday was a retrospective of kind of how the season came about, and yesterday was a heavy geek number rundown of kind of all the teams in the West. So if you have not caught, you should listen all 5 days a week, but if you have not done so, I would suggest maybe grabbing that. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locker Rooms. Locked On Rooms in Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. I don't host a Locker Room. If you're a Jazz fan and you want a Locker Room, our friend Ben Dowsett does host a Locker Room, so you can give him a little look if you'd like to. Otherwise, we have a bunch of good Locked On Rooms that are going on, maybe even a Warrior and maybe even a Laker Room. So check it out at Locker Room. All right, so the first thing I wanted to do today, and I hope you're enjoying this, there's this like really simple question, like the number one question every Jazz fan is like, who do we want to play? That the Lakers or the Warriors? And who's going to win? So like there's a phrase in our business called play the hits. So let's take a quick second and look at, this is really going to be a focus of our game. I'm assuming most Jazz fans that are listening to the show are going to watch the game tonight. So hopefully we'll give you a little extra insight. So here, looking at today's matchup. For the season, the Warriors have the 21st offense against the Lakers' number two defense. Now, the Warriors recently have been much better than that. The Warriors don't offensive rebound at all. The Lakers do, so they won't get second chance points. They do. The Warriors actually go to the free throw line a pretty decent amount. Their rim selection is interesting because the Warriors, thanks to Clean the Glass for laying this out so nicely, the Warriors don't go to the rim a ton. They shoot the sixth most amount of threes. They're 20th in the league at getting to the rim. The Lakers actually do not deny the rim particularly well. They're 24th in the league at allowing shots at the rim, surprisingly. Eighth best at denying threes, though, with their length. And they're the fourth best team in the league at actually defending the actual shot on the three, probably because of their great length. So that's kind of, and they're pretty good at defending. They're great at defending, like, the mid-range shot as well. So that's, the Warriors, you know, can the Warriors get their looks? Obviously, Steph creates all of them. The Warriors are the 10th best half-court offense against the Lakers, which are the 4th best half-court defense. And the final note on this is the Warriors are actually not a good transition team. They're 26th in the league in transition, and the Lakers are the number one transition defense in all of the NBA. So when you kind of look at that, I think the biggest struggle for the Warriors are going to be whether they can score. They're not an incredible offensive team. It's really a question of Steph gets going. On the other side, the Lakers have not been a great offensive team. Now, obviously, they missed LeBron and AD, but the Warriors are a terrific defensive team. The Lakers are the 23rd ranked offense. The Warriors are the 5th ranked defense. Shot selection-wise, very similar. Kind of, but in a different way. The Lakers take the 6th most amount of shots at the rim. The Warriors are the 6th best at defending the rim. So something's got to give there. Lakers only 23rd in the league at taking threes. Warriors are 12th best in the league at denying the three. Like, that's actually almost pretty close, similar. That's a really interesting kind of give and take there to see how that plays. The Lakers at the rim are the 7th best. The Warriors are the 7th best defending. So that'll be really interesting. The Warriors' defense may cause them a decent amount of problems. And the final note is the Warriors are the 5th best half-court defense. The Lakers are the 23rd best offense. The Warriors do the best job in the NBA of keeping you out of transition. And this, to me, is the key to the game tonight. And that is that the Lakers have to get in transition. That's what the Lakers have to do. They have to get in transition. Their half-court offense is not great. It wasn't great last year either. And so this is a good defensive team they're playing, and so that should make things a little more interesting. All right, so that's just a quick breakdown. Who do we want to win? Let's go into that by looking at who we are and what we do well, and then we'll look at both of those two teams and see if we can figure out if they have a weakness that we actually match up better against numerically than just talking about Steph and LeBron. And again, some of the Lakers' numbers aren't great this year because of their situation. So using some numbers from Synergy Sports, we're the third best spot-up team in the league. We're the second best pick-and-roll ball handler team in the league. And we're unique in that sense because we have three different ball handlers. Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley all use close to 1,500 pick-and-rolls. All of, like, almost equally distributed amongst them, with then Jordan Clarkson and Boyan getting some. It was almost 25% of our pick-and-rolls were Donovan, 25% of our pick-and-rolls were Joe, 25% of our pick-and-rolls were Mike, and 25% of our pick-and-rolls were Jordan Clarkson and Boyan Bogdanovic combined. And honestly, Jordan was really, really good at it, which you don't think of. Boyan is not great at it, quite honestly. That's not his greatest strength. Mike Conley ended up being a little bit better than anyone else for the year in the pick-and-roll play. He had just a fabulous year. He and Rudy really found each other and actually were terrific in the final few games of the year when Mike came back. Now, those are against some lesser opponents, but they did find themselves well. We're the third best pick-and-roll man team. In other words, Rudy rolling to the basket. You know, what we're not great off is we're not a particularly good handoff team. We don't post up, and if you get us into isolation, we're not great. So that's, and we saw the isolation stuff when you suddenly took away Joe Ingles, or when you suddenly took away Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. We really struggle with isolation. If you know, our isolation is run by Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, little Boyan Bogdanovic when we have to, and Mike Conley. Mike Conley's not great at it. Boyan's one of the worst in the NBA on isolation. I think last time I checked, he shot something like 10 of 50, like 20% for the year on isolations, and turned it over, we know, a decent amount. Actually, not as high as you would have thought when I looked at the numbers. And Donovan and Jordan, Donovan's very, very good. Jordan's average at it. So, you know, that's our isolation game. We have to have. So if we look at us offensively, we want to play a team that doesn't force a lot of isolation and allows us to play our catch and shoot game, allows us to play our pick and roll game. On a defensive side, we're great at everything but handoffs, and we've never been very good at handoffs. We're 10th best in the pick and roll ball handlers because we want them to shoot that shot. Second best against spot up, great against transition. Pick and roll men can do nothing against us. We're good at handling the cut, and we're very good at isolation defense. So the only thing we're not good at is that handoff game. So let's look at the Warriors and see where they are offensively and what do they do well. So, you know, the Warriors run handoffs about 7% of the time, and they're the third best in the NBA. So, all right, that's a decent amount of handoffs, and that's hard for us to handle. They're not a great spot-up shooting team. They're super in transition. Their pick-and-roll ball handlers, obviously very good because of Curry, because of Curry, and we guard that fairly well. Their pick-and-roll man is, like, not a part of their offense. So, like, in this, their pick-and-roll man only gets the ball, like, so that's, you know, Wiseman, who's not playing anymore, and now Looney or Draymond, 3.5% of the time. That's not a part of their game. So Rudy can't impact that the same way. Now, we probably, because of that, you would probably send Rudy a little bit more to the ball handler, bring a backside guy, open up some spot-up shooting, and force him to beat you with shots other ways. On a defensive aspect, they force about 6% of opposing possessions into isolation. That's a pretty high amount. We're very good with a pick-and-roll ball handler. They're average against that. So their defense, as good as we just talked about with the Warriors, they're the fifth best half-court defense in the league this year, the fifth best transition defense. They're very good late in the shot clock. It's not actually obvious why that is. It's not like they're number one in something. They're not very good defending offensive rebounding, which we're good at, so that's a good matchup for us with the Warriors. Their pick and roll man coverage, which we just talked about, is that we're 12th in the league, with Rudy is decent. It's 12th in the league. They're kind of just above average at everything. Defensively, they're terrific in transition, but their pick and roll ball handlers are great. So that's not a terrible matchup for us in that sense. And it's not the only thing that's a little concerning when you kind of look at them is that they force a decent amount of isolation at 6% because of their switches. We can check on where that matches the level of defenses and that force the most isolation. Here, we'll look at team defense and percentage of isolation forced. So the highest in the league is Brooklyn and Phoenix, who do a lot of switching, forcing you into isolation. And the Warriors come out as middle of the pack at 6%. It's not a huge difference. The most is kind of a 9% Brooklyn. When them switching everything force you into isolation the most. The Lakers, on the other hand, are right in the middle of the pack also at 6.1%. So if that's our defensive weakness, our offensive weakness is that isolation game, that's not something that either of these teams do a great deal. We talked about handoffs as being another one that we struggle with. We'll look at, when we come back, we'll look at what our team does, what teams do the most with handoffs, and which would be a bad matchup for that in that regard. As we continue here on Locked On Jazz, trying to get ready for who do we actually want to play with a little intelligence behind it. I think that the driving force might, you just don't want to play LeBron in a playoff series since he just doesn't lose playoff series. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at InterCap Lending. Steve Carter and the crew at InterCap are just amazing. It's a local lending company. They have done super, super work. And for us as a sponsor, the best part has been just the constant reviews I get back from everyone about what it's like to work with Steve Carter and how amazing he is. I can just, they're endless, actually. It's been so cool to have Steve work with our people. Jason was a guy from out of state that Steve Carter helped. You don't have to be from Utah. Another guy emailed me, Daniel. Steve Carter got back to him on December 31st, within 15 minutes of me referring him and seeing what's going on. It's really been a really, really cool aspect of things. And Carl Weinstein, our producer, actually, or our producer, our COO, actually used Steve Carter as well. So I'm sending all my friends to Steve and telling you about the best out there, and there's just, it's not like one of those things, he's great. All right, so that was a crappy read, and I want to keep InterCap as a sponsor because of the fact that Steve's so great. So call him at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. InterCap Lending, NMLS 19-0465. Trust me, Steve Carter's way better than I executed that read right there. Today's show is also brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is the perfect place to start and join the conversation about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find our Locked On hosts, NBA, MLB, and NHL, all there. So go download the free Locker Room app available on iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, join the NFL, MLB, and NHL groups with the latest of the Locked On hosts. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms and have fun. It's Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, let's take a second and look at the other one we were going to look at just before the break, and then we'll go and take a look at who runs the most handoffs in the NBA. So Miami Heat actually run the most. The Warriors run the third most amount of handoffs in the league. That's always been a tough one for us to guard. That's not a great. The Lakers run our 23rd. Now, this is only 7% versus 4% of your possessions. The Lakers are also not good at it, and the Warriors are the best in the league at it at 1.2 0.06 points per possession. Actually, third best behind the Bucks and the Nets. So, like, that's actually pretty legitimate. Like, there's a takeaway here from this conversation. Like, on the Lakers versus the Warriors' style of play and the way that they do things, the one defensive weakness we've always had is the handoff. There's some reasons for that. Rudy's attached to the guy usually who's handing it off. Our guards are trailing. Rudy, it's harder for him to get out. Like, it's a better way to attack us than the pick and roll. It makes sense. And the Lakers are 28th in the league in efficiency and about 26th in trying them. And the Warriors are third in doing them and third best in the league at efficiency. So in some ways, there's your first big differential for us in regards to who you're matching up on. Now, let's look at the Lakers overall for a second. You know, obviously their numbers are not right this year. They're only 23rd in overall in half court. And I'm certain if we, you know, ran the numbers for their first 20 games of the year, they'd be way better. They are, but they were not a great offensive team last year either. And they just didn't face any good defensive teams in the playoffs until Miami. And then Miami was injured. They are 23rd in the league at pick and roll ball handlers. So that's Dennis Schroeder not being very efficient. That allows Rudy to fall back, make them make plays off that. That's probably good for us. They are very good in transition. They're a good spot up shooting team, an okay spot up shooting team. So you're going to, you know, you're suddenly, we're able to play our defense against them. They're not a, interestingly, they're not a very good isolation team. We're not a switching team, but if they have matchups they want to go get against us, they don't really, Dennis Schroeder's kind of their best isolation guy, but Anthony Davis is not good at it. Markieff Morris is actually kind of strangely powerful on some of those setups. And Andre Drummond, if he gets deep in the post, is probably fine, but he's such an inefficient offensive player, and Dennis Schroeder's an inefficient. Like, they're not a particularly efficient offensive team with their personnel, not just the injuries. And so they're not, they don't wow you. What they wow you with is their defense. And their defense is just outstanding and long and tough. And so they're the seventh best team against the spot up. We're great on the pick and roll ball handler, right? They're the fourth best team in the league defending pick and roll ball handler. They're the number one team in the league defending transition of the Lakers. They're only average against the roll man, which means Rudy's got to make plays, which is a little tough for us. And they're great against offensive rebounding. So, like, from an offensive standpoint, the Warriors, we can take advantage of rebounding-wise, but they kind of guard the things we do, and we can probably get our pick-and-roll ball handlers going and some things like that. Against the Lakers, their defense matches to all the best things that we do. So if you kind of look at this matchup, my takeaway on this, which is not necessarily the greatest answer for you, is that the Lakers defensively match up against the things that we want to do best offensively. The Warriors offensively go against us in a manner against the things that we don't do well defensively. It's really a tough idea that we're going to play one of these two teams in the first round. You know, on the simplest terms, if you look at the win-loss record, you just decide the Warriors are easier to play, and the fact that they don't have LeBron James, but they have Steph Curry. So I really, it's just crappy. Like, there's just nothing good about it, frankly, for us on either side of that, of what's taking place there. I don't think, as crazy as this is, and maybe I'll rue the day I make this comment, I don't feel like the Lakers have something offensively that breaks us defensively. I know they have LeBron, they have Anthony Davis, but and if AD's superhuman, then AD's superhuman. But when I look at back when we've played James Harden, Nikola Jokic, and Steph Curry at their stages and where they were in their career, they kind of broke us. Right? Harden, we just couldn't guard. He was too good getting lane. Steph, same issue. And Nikola Jokic, really, in combination with Jamal Murray, was just too much for us. It's hard to tell because our matchups with the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis. But, you know, the Lakers without Anthony Davis in the game in Utah when LeBron played, and they were otherwise relatively healthy, though I don't think Dennis Schroeder played. He's not particularly efficient, though. The Lakers had a terrible offensive game against us. Just terrible. So it's really, you know, it's hard to tell kind of where they are. You almost have to go back a year and look at the Lakers games against us a year ago where we were not as good a defensive team and see, you know, the first time out they just waxed us and we couldn't, but that one is the one Dennis Lindsay quotes all the time is when he knew how he had to rebuild the team because, or rebuild some parts of the team because we just got completely manhandled on that December 4th game against them last year. And then we play them in the bubble on August 3rd. And they, you know, that was a pretty darn good game. They win at 116-108. That's where I'm kind of talking about is they didn't have a great offensive game. Anthony Davis was 13 of 28. He got 4 threes and the rest of it was out in transition. He had 42 points. He was great. He went to the line 12 of 15 times. LeBron was 9 of 16. Their offensive rating that day was like a 110. It wasn't a wow. We couldn't score against them. So again, that gets, now hopefully we're a better team today in that than we are then. But that's our struggle, right? Emmanuel Mudiay played 9 minutes of that game, was a -8. Tony Bradley played 14 minutes of that game. So hopefully we're better than we were then. But that's the struggle that we're talking about. There's the takeaway. Like, so I'll just say it one more time again. When you look at this, the Warriors have things that are able to bend our defense with Steph Curry and handoffs and things that we are our weaknesses. They'll tax us that way. The Lakers will tax us the other way that we are not entirely sure what if we can score against them. And that's the struggle. So with all that said, I don't have an answer of who we're rooting for today. You can decide for yourself. I apologize. All of that and no real answer. I did know that that's where we were ending when I started this, but that's my respect for where the Warriors are and the numbers we had on yesterday's show lead me to believe that they're pretty darn good. The next thing we're going to do, we're going to hear from the Kamenetsky brothers with Nick Angstead on a cool little feature we're running on our YouTube channel. If you have not followed Locked On NBA on YouTube, it's pretty cool right now. We have little 5 to 8 minute breakdowns on every single team that's out there for the playoffs and what's going on with it. So make sure you grab it. And make sure you get the real one, not the one that is a fake one with our old logos. So subscribe, but everything you need to know about the Clippers, Nets, Nuggets, Knicks, Jazz, Lakers, Warriors, Celtics, Grizzlies, all those kind of things are all available for you. It's a really cool little feature right now. Some of them are about 5 minutes. Some of them are long. The Knicks one for 20 minutes because they're the Knicks. And I'm going to let you hear a portion of the Lakers and a portion of the Warriors coming up, getting you ready for tonight's game. Let's go to betonline.ag and see what they have to say about tonight's game between the Lakers and the Warriors. We've never previewed another game this much, but I'm assuming all of you are watching tonight, and really the number one question every Jazz fan is, who do we want to play? Lakers are a 5.5-point favorite. Memphis, by the way, is a 4-point favorite. Washington's a 3.5-point favorite on Thursday's game after last night. The Milwaukee is a 4.5-point favorite against Miami. The Clippers are a 5-point favorite against the Mavericks. The Nets are a 7.5-point favorite against the Celtics. And Denver and Portland is a 1-point favorite. And then Sunday, the Knicks and the Hawks will play. And the Hawks are 1.5. I'm taking Portland in that series, by the way. I actually think, unfortunately, that Jamal Murray injury is a little more significant than we've seen. The odds on that series, by the way, are 100 to 120. So that kind of matches to what I've been saying. It's all at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Oh, guess what? White chocolate birthday cake with sprinkles is out. Specialty flavor right now. Birthday cake with sprinkles. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, 6 grams of sugar. The same amazing Built Bar macros with a specialty flavor. They only last a few days at a time. It's so fun when they come out. The regular flavors are amazing. Coconut almond, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, coconut, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. And then you've got the specialty flavors. Is it a candy bar or is it a protein bar? It's Built Bar. And right now, birthday cake with sprinkles is available. So go grab it. All right, let's have a little fun and hear from our guys. Let's start off with the Warriors. Here's Nick Angstead and Wes Goldberg for a few minutes.
Nick Angstead from Locked On NBA here, joined by Wes Goldberg of also Locked On NBA and Locked On Warriors to talk about the Golden State Warriors. First of all, how are you feeling about this team?
It's been a roller coaster of a year in that they're kind of exactly what we expected them to be, like a 500 team going into the season. But the way in which they've been a 500 team has just been so up and down with like the injuries and the whole James Wiseman experiment and the Steph Curry scoring spree and everything that's going on with this team. It's like the most exhausting 500 team I think I've ever covered.
I feel like so many people are saying that right now. Like, oh, this team has just been so exhausting. Corrales of the Celtics. Mavericks had their...
I can't compare it to the Celtics. I don't know how he does it. That seems like a nightmare team to cover right now.
Speaking of all the injuries, you said the Wiseman experience, all that kind of stuff. Who's in the playoff rotation? Who do you expect coming into the play-in and then the playoffs? Who's going to be there? And then which role players are going to matter the most for the Warriors?
Yeah, because of these injuries, Steve Kerr has basically been down to an 8-man rotation over the last month or so. So you've got Steph and Draymond. You've got Andrew Wiggins, who's been their Iron Man this year. You've got Kevon Looney now starting at center with Wiseman out for the season. And then you've got Kent Bazemore right now slotted in at shooting guard with Kelly Oubre dealing with this nagging wrist injury. It's unclear if he'll even come back for the playoffs at this point. We don't know. There's no timetable yet. So those are your starters. And then you've got a 3-man group coming off the bench of Michael Mulder, Jordan Poole, and Juan Toscano-Anderson, which if the Warriors make the playoffs, this might be the first time a lot of people see those players or watch those players.
Yeah.
And Juan Toscano-Anderson in particular, who he just signed his, he was on a 2-way contract for most of the year, and he just signed a standard 15-man deal yesterday or on Thursday. And he's kind of been the revelation of the season for them. What he does off the bench is sort of like mini Draymond Green-esque. And his playmaking at a forward spot, his ability to guard several different positions, he's making threes at a nice clip now. He's sort of unlocked that group, and he's going to be one of the more interesting guys to watch in the postseason.
You always hear draft prospects, oh, he's coming up, he's going to be a Draymond. You never expect a guy on the actual Warriors to be to be the next Draymond kind of guy. This Warriors team, obviously we know Draymond, we know Steph. What are the biggest strengths and weaknesses of this team overall?
Draymond and Steph.
Right. It's basically it.
It's Steph. The whole construct of this thing is they have a top five defense and defensive rating. So that's and Draymond Green captains that. But all the guys, you know, you've got Wiggins, Bazemore, Kevon Looney, just all of them solid. Even Steph Curry at this point is an average defender at his position. So you don't have any weak defenders. And that's what you combine that with just Draymond Green's leadership on that end. And that's how you end up with a top five defense. And then basically it's Steph Curry on offense. Like if you could just put a top five defense in place, and then if Steph could score 30 plus points a night and you get contributions here and there from the rest of the roster, that's how the Warriors have won games. Now it's when the Warriors don't get those contributions from those other players when they lose those games.
So that actually makes me, and that's Wes Goldberg, Nick Angstead, the rest of that, about another 6 minutes of that is available for you on YouTube at the Locked On NBA channel. So please feel free to go grab it. I really love what we're doing on our new YouTube channels, so please grab it. But that last part is what gets me so interested in, like, who do we want to play? Because we want to play Memphis or San Antonio, right? Like, that's the... But here's what jumps out to me about this. The Lakers' defense is what terrifies me the most. Like, the Lakers' defense is so long, we have a hard time scoring. The Warriors' defense is not that far off the Lakers' defense. It's the fifth-ranked defense in the NBA. Steph is actually... offensively more daunting to me, crazy as it is, than LeBron right now. LeBron, we don't have anybody can guard LeBron. Like Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, they go small. I have no idea what we do, but we don't have anybody really guard Steph either. Like he's so quick and he's out everywhere and he's just a one man wrecking crew. And then you got a double and then he's giving it to Draymond. Then those other guys make their plays. Like the more I like go through this, it's like insane to me, but I begin to like, I hear that from Wes Goldberg and I get more daunted by the idea of playing the Warriors, whose defense makes us play isolation, which we don't like to do, and we're not very good at. We're better at with all the guys, but we're not great at it. Whose offense is Steph, that is unbelievable to guard, who plays a lot of handoffs that we're not good at. Like, is that possible? That, like, just conceptually, the way these teams are, who knows? Well, let's listen to Andy Kanaminsky with Nick Engstead from Locked On Lakers and see where they set up their playoffs. Another from the Locked On NBA new YouTube channel.
Nick Engstead from Locked On NBA here, joined by Andy Kanaminsky, host of Locked On Lakers. And Andy, we know everything about the Lakers at this point, right? We've seen them fully healthy for months now, and now we're just going into the playoffs, just business as usual.
I was going to say, like, the Lakers are a weird team this year in that we know everything about them because they are covered to death, including by, you know, people like me, Brian for Locked On Lakers. But we also know nothing about them because the last 3 months have just been chaos and guys in and out of the lineup constantly. Frank Vogel, after practice today, expressed hope that LeBron would play this weekend, but he admitted he doesn't know. Like, Dennis Schroeder is cleared in the health and safety protocol, so he's available, but don't know if he's going to be playing. Anthony Davis sounds like he's going to play this weekend, but don't know for sure. I mean, it's just been a revolving door of dudes just in and out of the trainer's room and in and out of street clothes.
From the great show Ted Lasso, it's the hope that kills you sometimes, right?
Oh yeah, we at this point we are like three or four times OD'd on hope. At this.
So you mentioned a bunch of players coming in and out of the rotation. Who's in this playoff rotation for the Lakers? Who makes it? Who's out of it and all that?
Again, acknowledging that, you know, availability and who actually will be around to play is something of a crapshoot, but with the caveat of this is everybody available, I've got this into four sections. Definitely in the rotation, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, Wes Matthews, and then Andre Drummond and Mark Gasol, unless the matchup makes it completely untenable. And we saw a lot last year that Frank Vogel is not shy about completely reconfiguring rotations, particularly with the big men, if the matchups just don't work because teams are going super small, or conversely, if he just wants to overwhelm a team. Then probably in the rotation, I would say Talen Horton-Tucker, unless his inexperience starts presenting too many mistakes, particularly defensively, but he brings a downhill ability to get to the basket that this team doesn't have a lot of guys who can do that beyond LeBron and Schroeder. Fluid in terms of the rotation, I would say, is Markieff Morris, Montrezl Harrell, Ben McLemore. I could see times where they will play. I could see times where they could be completely left out. And then good seats would be Alphonso McKinney, Jared Dudley, Kostas Antetokounmpo, and Devontae Kaycock.
Jared Dudley's had the best seat in the house for a couple years now.
Dude, he will be the first person to tell you that. Jared's pretty candid about, I know what my role is. You know, he's not shy about telling you, I bring utility to the mix, but he's also not shy about letting you know, love the lifestyle. I'm not giving this up until right. No team will employ me.
Right. And Anthony Davis recently said that he was the starting two guard coming up. So we'll see if that turns out.
You know what? It's not out of the question. I mean, really, the last couple of games, the backup point guard, because Talen Horton-Tucker has been the only playmaking guard in a uniform. The backup point guard, depending on how you want to look at it, has either been Kyle Kuzma or Mark Gasol. So,
oh, man. So all that being said, do we know what this team is good and bad at? Is it just going to be when LeBron and AD come back, is it just going to be their elite defensive team and those two guys can get buckets and that's what they're good at? Or, you know, are the strengths and weaknesses of this team still to be known because we haven't seen them all together yet?
Well, to some degree, they are unknown. Like, the idea of what Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, and LeBron can do together is really a complete unknown. At times, Drummond and AD have looked good together, reasonably fluid. At times, it's been kind of a mess. Andre Drummond's coming off a really strong game that he, quite frankly, needed. He admitted so after the post game. You know, he's had a rough go between, you know, being exiled in Cleveland for like 20-something games and then shows up here and immediately gets hurt. None of the guys he's supposed to be playing with have been there. So it's been tough. So there are certain elements of this team that we just don't know. The projected starting lineup of LeBron, AD, Andre Drummond, KCP, and Schroeder, I don't think that group has played together. Like, literally, I don't think they've been on the court together. I'm pretty positive they haven't. So that being said, in terms of what we know, they are a really, really good defensive team. And it doesn't really seem to matter who's on the court. Some groups are better than others. But when you've got all the main players who matter assembled, this team is exceptionally good defensively. They rotate really well. They anticipate really well. They communicate well. Offensively, they are a mixed bag. When they are in transition, they're deadly. And, you know, it makes sense when you've got LeBron as the head of that particular snake. It's really difficult to stop. In the half court, they can be really muddy, even with all players there, just because they're not a great outside shooting team. So they can get kind of stagnant. They sometimes end up just sitting around watching LeBron or watching AD. The offense sometimes is not pretty with this team, and I think that's really where they're going to miss a lot of this time where all these guys have been in and out of the lineup. But they've actually, all things considered, kept their heads above water remarkably well.
All right, well, there it is. That last little piece about their offense. We can outshoot them. We can outplay them in a three-point game. But, boy, when he lists the rotation, Lakers are loaded with talent, just loaded with talent. All right, you couldn't be more ready for the Locked On Lakers with Locked On Lakers and Locked On Warriors. Go grab it all at the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. Great stuff there. Great previews. Well done. Go subscribe. And this is Locked On Jazz. I'll be back with you tomorrow. We're hoping to have Tony Jones on the show tomorrow, if all works out today. And Thurl Bailey later in the week. We'll see if it happens. We'll know our opponent Friday, so we'll do a special. I'll do a special preview for you on Saturday of some sort. All right, it is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, go to the YouTube channel and listen to all the NBA previews on our Locked On NBA channel.